Bad timing there on that turning the mic on. It's like, oh, the mic's still up. I got time to clear my throat. Here we go.
I thought.
And then it was right when you turned it on.
I thought you were inhaling it.
Like, no. Apologize to everybody. I had to hear that. Welcome back to That 590 Show. Matt Rocchio, we're back on the air. Quit talking to Charlie Tuna. Can't learn anything from that guy anyway, so that to pick up on white women. That's about it.
Is that not a useful skill?
Yeah.
Is that not worth our time, Mr.
No,
Berger?
It is. You're right. All apologies. That's a very useful skill to have. Welcome back to the program. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio behind the microphones. John G. Monty Rudolph behind the dials. Joining us for the final segment this evening is the Missouri Tigers basketball beat writer for the Columbia Daily Tribune. You can follow him on Twitter at Daniel_M_Jones. Danny Jones, how are you, sir?
Doing well. How are you guys doing this evening?
Well, I bought this Kevin Knox basketball jersey, Mizzou basketball jersey, all excited and ready to wear. And then Saturday he broke my heart. So what went wrong?
That's how you start.
That's how I start.
Well, I think a lot of people were surprised that he chose Kentucky. I think the conventional wisdom coming out of Florida was that he was going to stay somewhere in the ACC, either. I think a lot of people were thinking North Carolina. I think a lot of people were thinking Duke late, and I think I think there might have been a little bit late momentum with Florida State, but Mizzou was really just kind of behind the eight ball there. That was a tough thing, even with the strong impression that they were able to make. There's just so much time that Konzo Martin was not able to spend with Kevin Knox that everybody else was able to do. In-home visits. Getting to see Kevin play in high school, getting to see him play AAU ball. If you're Konzo Martin, that's something you just never got to do. And it's not like you're going up against other schools that you can lap up pretty quickly. Yeah. Mike Krzyzewski's been there longer than you have. John Calipari's been there longer than you have. That's kind of a tough ask. So I think it was good for Missouri just to be able to kind of be there in the conversation to put that impression out there, not just to Kevin Knox, but to a lot of other recruits. Certainly it worked for Blake Harris. I think he was a beneficiary of that too. He was on the same visit and he did end up committing. So, it was going to be tough for Missouri to get him, but they'll be okay. They got Michael Porter Jr. in basically the same position. Not that, Kevin Knox wasn't going to bring something incredible to the team. I mean, he obviously would have been a great talent to have, but I think that was kind of something that was hopeful, but maybe not necessarily expected kind of late in the game.
Speaking of potential changes here late in the game, any new information on Jeremiah Tillman? It seemed like that was kind of, it was going to go down no matter what, and yet the fact that I don't think anything's changed on the surface, but the fact that we haven't heard anything in a while, I think making some people wonder about this one.
I agree. I think the more it drags on, kind of the more you wonder exactly what is going on.
Are the UNC rumors true? Is DePaul actually going to make a splash? Is Illinois going to make something happen here? That's all I've heard.
It's been reported that DePaul is getting in the mix. It's, of course, Mark Smith made the comment after he committed to Illinois that he was going to try to get Jeremiah to come back. And I think that would just be a really interesting story if Jeremiah Tillman ends up going back to Illinois. I don't believe the reception was real great from Champaign when he decided he was going to get out of his letter of intent. So I think that would really be.
So you think that bridge has been burnt?
if I were Jeremiah Tillman, it wouldn't be something I would forget. But hey, man, it's your college career, and I don't think Brad Underwood would say no to a guy like him with his talent. I don't know. I don't know what's going through his mind right now. I don't really know what's holding him back. I think a lot of people are wondering the same thing. It seems to kind of be at a point now where it's just, everybody's just kind of waiting on him. What's going through his mind? What's he thinking? And that's just kind of part of this recruiting game, is you can't get in the minds of these kids all the time. And even if you do, they might change your mind down the road. So, I would agree that it certainly seemed like a cut and dried thing when he got out of his letter of intent at Illinois that he was going to be playing for Missouri. But here we are, almost getting close to the middle of May, and nothing doing yet. So we'll just kind of see what happens. The end of the signing period is coming up. Of course, he's not obligated to sign anywhere, but you know, you would expect him to come to a decision sooner rather than later. That the summer period is just, it's big for incoming freshmen to have that, to acclimate to the new squad and kind of get in and meet the coaching staff and just be a part of the team. And every second you kind of wait on a decision is another day that you don't get that experience. So, you know, up to him and whatever he wants to do. I get the feeling that he's going to want to make a decision sooner rather than later for his own benefit.
Now, I know the most overused term or phrase, I should say, in Mizzou basketball recruiting over the last 3 months has been Jonte reclassifying, but I'm going to ask about it anyway, except for my question here is, he's going to come no matter what as long as his dad's coaching, whether it's this year or next year. Is there any chance that he's waiting on the Tillman announcement to decide on his reclassification, considering obviously Tillman being a big guy, him being a big guy, they similarly play the same minutes, same position?
He's been asked that and said no, but at this point, you just kind of wonder if that's something that's maybe in the back of his mind.
If he reclassifies, he won't get to play in the All-American game, and so that kind of takes away a little bit of the exposure, I guess you should say.
Yeah, you're missing out on a lot of opportunities as if you go a year early, especially now for him, just in the time he's kind of gotten out of high school to now, the amount his profile has grown has been pretty remarkable. There's one, I believe it was Eric Bossy from Rivals that said he believes Jonte's the most improved player in the entire class. He's a 5-star recruit now. He's a top 25 guy, and all indications are he's going to be even higher the next time they come out with a new ranking. So he's been one of the stars of the EYBL so far through two sessions. His team, Mocan Elite, is the only undefeated team out of 40 that are playing. They're going to go back to Peach Jam. He's going to have another opportunity if he waits on a decision that long, or if he decides to stick around. If he decides to reclassify, then I would not expect him to continue playing. Obviously, there's no real reason to continue building your individual profile. You know, if he ends up reclassifying and foregoing that senior year of high school, he's going to jump right in with Mizzou more than likely. So it's an interesting predicament. You try to get a read from him, and he's been really pretty noncommittal. And from the beginning, he said, I don't really know what I want to do yet. I'm going to take some time to think about it. And yet there's also been some times where he's dropped some hints. I think I'm leaning towards staying. I think I'm leaning towards reclassifying. He's gone back and forth. But at the same time, it feels like it's something that's still pretty up in the air. So, I got a chance to talk to him a couple times. He says there's still no timetable on when he's going to come to a decision. He could wait until Peach Jam is over, which is kind of middle to end of July, to make a decision. I think your question was, is he waiting on other guys to decide? Maybe. He might. And like I said, he's been asked that question and has said no, but there is a possibility that he's kind of waiting to see what other dominoes fall and where his place is going to be in this lineup.
And wouldn't you think it might be better for Mizzou, possibly, if he were to wait another year? Because Michael Porter Jr., even though the conception is that he's going to be one and done, but he has said that he would like to play 1 year with his brother. So you could see maybe a scenario where Michael Porter Jr. plays 2 years at Mizzou, 1 year but without his younger brother, and then 1 year with. So maybe it might be in better service to Mizzou if Jonte waits 1 year.
I know Michael has said that too, and and here's kind of how I look at that. I think as an 18-year-old kid, and not to knock Michael Porter Jr., who's a smart kid and certainly has a better read on his future than I ever did at that age, or really anybody else I knew at that age. But I would be shocked, really shocked, if he decided after 1 year he wasn't going to go to the NBA. I mean, he's right there, unless something catastrophic happens, unless there's an injury.
Sure.
I really feel like that might have been something that was kind of thrown out there in the moment. And I don't doubt that he'd really like to play with Jonte. Those two are like peas and carrots. They're very close. They were like that in high school. Obviously, that they were homeschooled growing up from preschool all the way until they were freshmen in high school. That was the first year that they weren't homeschooled. So they grew up together. They're really close. So I don't doubt that he'd like to play with Jonte. But again, I'd be shocked if he ends up sticking around. I don't know what it would be better for Missouri. I think hindsight will kind of dictate, you know, maybe what was good, and or, you know, we can kind of come back to this in a couple years and say this might have been better or not, or maybe not. I feel like there's kind of it works both ways, and really it's up to Jonte. You know, it's his decision on what he wants to do. You could make the argument that, you know, Missouri could stand to benefit from having two, you know, top 10 recruits in different classes, even if they're not on the same team at the same time. You kind of break it up and spread the wealth a little bit. Or, you know, I guess there's an argument to be made that you want all those guys on the team at the same time just to see what happens. So, yeah, I think it'll be interesting just to kind of see when he makes a decision, if he wants to continue to build that profile. I think he's definitely gained some momentum, turned some heads since he's kind of been away from Michael and playing out of his shadow. He's putting up some outstanding numbers, shooting the ball extremely well. He's 6'10" and shooting 42% from three. So he's really been outstanding, and I think it'll be interesting to kind of see how the rest of this summer goes for him individually and when he decides to make a decision.
Danny Jones, thank you so much for making time for us this evening. We appreciate your insight as always, and we look forward to having you on again the next time we have Mizzou news breaking.
Okay, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Danny. That is Danny Jones from the Columbia Daily Tribune. You can follow him on Twitter at Daniel_M_Jones. I'd like to have asked him if there's any concern around the program about the drop in enrollment at Mizzou, but I think that'll bounce back up once the football team and the basketball team start winning again. That's just my two bits. For the final time this evening, let's head back to that 590 Show Sports Update Desk and our very own Matt Rocchio.
12-10 left to play in the second period, and the Capitals have pushed their lead to 2 goals unassisted. Andre Burakovsky, with 6:37 left to play in the second period, buried one to make it 2-0 for the Capitals. By the way, they right now are leading what could be on the way to tying this series at 3 apiece. Mind you, Pittsburgh was up 3-0 in this series, or 3-1 in this series, I should say, could be tied minutes from now. Earlier today, Pirates second-year pitcher Jameson Taillon underwent surgery this morning for suspected testicular cancer. He came out with an amazing comment, said he lost some of his manhood, but he feels more like a man right now than he ever has.